Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Daphne, you're the only one on the block who never has any fire ant mounds. How come?
Over and Out Advanced. Kills fire ant mounds in 15 minutes. No fire ants for me.
Unbelievable.
And it keeps working for 6 months, guaranteed. No fire ants in my yard.
Unbelievable.
Plus, Over and Out Advanced is easy to use and starts working fast. No fire ants.
Unbelievable.
Believe it and start using Over and Out Advanced.
I do believe it. Over and Out it is.
Over and Out Advanced. The unbelievable results you can believe in.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. We gon' walk it out and move on day. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up. And I do it 1,000 times again. And I'll silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move, I won't dance, bring it to its feet. That we have each other.
Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad unto us this day and granted us a divine blessing and mercy and the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly salonjournal.com and salonjournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum. And welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You are now tuned into the voice of an entire nation. We are the voice of the voiceless. This is the Star and Crescent Report. Our show today is titled, Tears from the Empire, Global Meltdown Underway. Now, before we get into that, let me address a few things. For those of you who are listening to the show and are new to this show and you're hearing a raspy voice, I have a raspy voice for a reason. I have not allowed my voice to rest, so it has not recovered fully to its original state. Now, I have been seeing Blog Talk Radio cut off, listeners. Dozens of them are being dropped. So I just want to warn you, you may be dropped or cut off or whatever, but if you will, if you have the patience and the tenacity, get back on and listen to this truth. All right? I hope you have the patience and the tenacity. I hope you don't let the devil overcome your desire for truth, because this is a day and a time where truth is a must if you are to survive the onslaught of divine retribution to not only America, but the entire world. This is the time that the prophets prophesied about the time where the nations would be angry. And we ask the question, why were the nations angry? They were angry because it was time that the dead in God should rise. And they went through everything and did everything according to what they could think of to prevent the rise and unification of the dead. Here we talk about dead. Dead means mentally and culturally and spiritually dead. And no one fits the bill better than the American so-called Negro first, and then the black people around the world next. So there's a rise in the black man. His salvation has come to his front door, and now the devil, being a devil, and being evil, and being mischievous, and being underhanded, is now trying to keep you from understanding the time. There's nothing more important than the time. The time and what must be done. Okay? Let me go to Our Savior Has Arrived. We got a lot of clips. But I want to go to Our Savior Has Arrived on page 103. Bear with me, brothers and sisters. In this chapter, titled Chapter 21, and it's called Black and White Worlds Near a Showdown. Now, does a showdown mean? I want you to ask that question. What does a showdown mean? If we're on the verge of a showdown, then one should understand what that means. Because without the definition of what that means, you cannot really understand the time. You can't understand what this chapter is trying to convey to you. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word showdown means a meeting, argument, fight, etc., that will finally settle a disagreement between people or groups. Isn't that a decisive confrontation or contest? So, if this chapter goes and says, black and white worlds near a showdown, we can easily substitute the word showdown and say black and white worlds nearing a decisive confrontation or contest. Or we can say black and white worlds near a meeting, argument, fight that will finally settle a disagreement between people or groups. Well, if you have any sense, that final showdown, that final battle, is termed in Bible terms as Armageddon. Arm Age of the Dawn. And we can see that there's never been a time, never been an age, that man has been so equipped with military might and muscle. Right? So the empire is falling, and we see the tears of the empire, and she's doing everything that she can to prevent the so-called Negro from understanding the time and their position in time. And if you understand the definition of what the chapter says, showdown, a decisive meeting, right? A decisive argument, a decisive battle, a decisive confrontation between people or groups. If you understand that, then you'll know that war cannot be avoided. Escalation is a must to come to the head or the end of the conflict. It cannot go on in perpetuity. So the chapter, again, we say, black and white worlds near a showdown. And it reads as such, due to the presence of Allah in person, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, and his aims and purposes to take over his own, it brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the nations of earth. The present world, the white people, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling, as shown by their preparations made for the total destruction of the human family of the earth. They boast that they can destroy the present total population of our earth 30 times over again and again. But we know they will not be able to destroy it one time. Now stop right there. So, by the definition of the chapter, a conflict, a decisive, it's just not any kind of conflict that will take place, a decisive battle between people or groups must and will take place and is underway. So when we look at these things that are taking place in America and globally, we must put them in a perspective of conflict and confrontation. And that's why the empire is shedding tears, because they're grasping onto straws, because they know that the time that they had is now up. And they see a global meltdown if the monetary order melts down, if the financial order melts down, if the markets for precious metals and derivatives and everything melts down, then so too does the military might and the political influence of the Western world, specifically and especially America, comes to an end. So this will make any empire break down in tears if a global meltdown is underway. This is being orchestrated by the Lord of the worlds, because two gods or two two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Two of them are on the scene and both want to rule, and neither is willing to yield to the other one's rule. Therefore, a conflict must take place and is underway. Are you following? Are you understanding? That's why you hear about all of these false flag operations from Brussels to Belgium, from Brussels to Paris, from Paris to London, from London to Berlin, from Berlin to Washington, D.C., New York City. All of these false flag operations that are taking place are to demonize Islam. Have you ever noticed this? That they say they have no idea that the operations or the events were to take place. But within minutes of them taking place, they have identified all the culprits, all of the materials that the culprits were to have. They have the history and the backdrop of every one of them, right? This lets you know that this was a pre-planned false flag operation. Just like with 9/11. Here you have it, and people never take the time to think. They say that this plane goes into a building, smashes it, and was able to melt steel that was made to withstand 5,000 degree temperatures. Now, jet fuel doesn't get that hot, but at the same time, it was able to melt that steel. And how they were able to identify one of the so-called terrorists on board, his body disintegrated, his pants disintegrated, his shoes disintegrated, his wallet disintegrated, but falling over 100 stories, neatly preserved, was his passport to the ground. Do you, the madness in this, and you take it hook, line, and sinker. They are desperate and they're trying to prevent you from understanding that Islam, as taught by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, is your salvation. They want you to reject and spurn Islam as a slap in the face to the God who has come in person and brought you your salvation. So, as I was reading and doing some studying about the Wahhabi sect and all of these other sects of Islam, these things were brought about through British and French and imperial rule, and they put this out there to try to sectarianize Islam. And they put this out there to demonize and then finally break and defeat Islam. This was in play when they put the so-called Saudi monarchy in power. Now, if the blowback of what their actions did several decades or even a century ago has now come home to roost, is it Islam that has done that? Or is it those who say they are Christians who put them into power? Whose fault is it? We go to the very root of the problem. And not none of this surface worshiping. Now the empire is crying because she's in her last day. Again, we go back. Remember what Muhammad said. This is the cause of all of this. It's not just because just on some whim that there's a little dissatisfaction. God is present. And the God who is the Lord of the worlds, who has come to reclaim everything that is his, is present. And he is removing the power and authority of the temporary God. So due to his presence, there's a climate of war. Muhammad says, due to the presence of Allah in person, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, and his aims and purposes to take over his own, it brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the nation of earth. The present world, white people, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling, as shown by their preparation made for the total destruction of the human family. What are they doing in North Africa? They're not going back to Europe. They're digging in, right? What are they doing in the Middle East? They're digging in. They're redeploying more troops and more weapons, more destructive things to the Middle East. What are they doing in South and Central America? They are overthrowing Eastern-friendly governments through political coups so that they can reinstitute and reconstitute American imperialism in the whole entire Western Hemisphere. Do you believe that Obama went to Cuba just for the sake of breaking an embargo? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you're a fool. He could have did that with one stroke of the pen in Washington, D.C. Why did he go to Cuba? Let me tell you. All of this connected to the economic situation. And the empire is crying. Therefore, we see tears from the empire under this global meltdown. Listen, the reason Obama went there is to finagle the leadership to lull them to sleep so that they can put NGOs into Cuba, because Cuba didn't have NGOs or a lot of them. And once these non-government organizations come in there, they weaponize the dissatisfied population, the few that may be dissatisfied, and then they go into color revolutions to overthrow the government and then put into power governments that are puppies or puppets to the American empire, and to undermine Russia, because that's Russia's foothold on America's door. America has all of these puppet states lined up against Russia's border, lined up against China's border. And Russia has an ace in the hole, which is Cuba. And if things got so bad, Russia could weaponize Cuba. So Cuba is only 89 or 90 miles from the tip of Florida. This is something. A tit for tat. It took place in the 60s, and it could well take place today. And America is now trying to undermine Russia strategically so that she can have a first strike option, and Russia has limited recourse to get back at her. This is something. Why is she making these moves? This book tells us that due to the presence of God in person and his aims and purpose to take over his own, it brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the nation of the earth. America wants to be the power. She says that she's the world's sole superpower. Do you know, just in that phrase itself, what she is saying? That she sees no other power equal to nor greater than herself. If she is the sole superpower, she is not just a power. She's not just a superpower. She says she's a hyperpower. Right? So she recognizes no power equal to or greater than she is. She's telling you that she's the god of this world. Militarily. Right? Is that not what it says? But now, American Europe are catching payback, blowback, for their imperial policy. And they don't know what to do. The more they deploy troops, the more hell they catch. The more they bomb nations, the more they have to bomb nations. They can't beat them into submission. They can't bomb them into oblivion. Because the time for that is over. And it is a time that the dead are steadily rising. And now you want to hear France and Brussels and America's tears. Down with your tears while you're steadily building up and trying to overthrow governments in Africa. While you're refusing to give black people globally their independence. Down with your false flag operations and the deaths of those people over there. What about the thousands that are dying daily by your sanctions, by your bombs, by your occupations, and by your hypocritical policies? To hell with the West and all of the death that comes on them. And you want to sympathize with them. You need to be buried right with them. tears, no cries, no mourning from them is enough that can equal to what they have done to us. So I say, let them cry. Let them suffer. Let them mourn. And in all of this, as the book says, you will have a time whether you can laugh or cry for them. Well, I'm not going to shed no tears. So if I have an option, and these options are laugh or cry, and if I'm not shedding tears, then guess what the other option must be? This is a time for the rising black and the collapse of the global financial order, the collapse of the political order, the so-called strong-armed military order. And what's his name? Igor. I think that's his name. Egon von Greyers. He talks about what he sees coming to the Western world and why it's coming to them. I'm going to play this clip here. This is 4 minutes, 22 seconds. Listen closely to what is being asked to him and listen closely to his replies and the bleakness that he sees for the future of the white or Western world. This is a white man that makes billions of dollars and he does billions in trade. And listen to what he's saying about the dire situation in the Western world and all that they're going to get and all that he sees coming to them. Let's go to this clip here, black man and black woman. Pay close attention.
So the terror attack in Belgium, not, you know, I mean, it's on your continent. I mean, I know it's not next door, but wow, I mean, that's some gruesome, grisly attack in Belgium, with all the rail traffic shut down, in and out, all the air traffic shut down, in and out of Belgium and Brussels, 34 dead so far. What is your feelings about what's going on and the carnage that's going on in Belgium and all this unrest and upheaval with the refugee crisis in Europe?
Well, it's obviously a very sad day for our friends in Belgium. But at the same time, we know that this is just the beginning, not only in Europe, but in the world as a whole. We are going to see a much more insecure world, and this is worldwide. We know that the refugee problem or the migrant problem into Europe certainly has included a number of potential terrorists in many countries. And of course, the attack, they arrested the person responsible for the Paris attack just 4 days ago, who happens to be a Belgian citizen. But nevertheless, these are people who are immigrants, of course. And the problem that we in the West have created, that is the US and Europe created in the Middle East, North Africa, will lead to more of this, because as you know, there's anarchy in Libya, there's anarchy in Iraq, and this is the West that has created it. So they're paying us back, and I don't think that's finished, and we will see a less secure world, as I said. And it's not just Europe. U.S. will have similar problems, I'm sure. It hasn't started quite there yet, but I'm sure it will.
No, I want you to finish your thought. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Go ahead.
I think this, we could see now a development where there's not only, now it's in Brussels, which is the center of the European Union, of course. But we could see not just cities being bombed, but also, again, planes. I wouldn't be surprised. And at some point, the people who are forecasting and very, very intelligent people are forecasting that this eventually will kill tourism in the world for a period. I hate to say that we are starting a period of insecurity and a less stable world. Whatever the leaders say of the various countries, U.S., Europe, terrorism is not something you can fight with force, in my view.
Do you think that one of the goals of, I had one of the big NATO generals on saying that they, that the immigrants have been infiltrated with Muslim extremists, and that their goal is to attack Europe, and eventually their goal is to take over Europe, What do you think about those words by top NATO commanders saying that they, that the problem that has been caused by the West is now coming back to bite them, and I guess the people that have been displaced and the enemies, whatever ISIS that was created in part, by the U.S., is coming back to bite everybody.
Well, I have a slightly different view. Of course, it will come back to bite, but when a military or a naval officer talks about this, he has a vested interest because he clearly thinks that he can fight this with force, and it can never be solved with force. If the West withdrew, that is the US and Europe withdrew from the Middle East and withdrew from North Africa and didn't interfere in these affairs, I think these problems would disappear. But sadly, every time there is an attack of this kind, then the West wants to escalate rather than actually pull back, and I think that's what they should do. So until that happens, I think we will have more problems.
Do you hear what he's saying? He was talking about that showdown that I just mentioned in the beginning of the show. A showdown means a conflict, a war between a group of people or nations, right? This war of Armageddon. And what did he say? That the policies of the West are now coming back to bite them. He said there's payback. This is what that white man just said. This is payback for how they have interfered in Africa, in the Middle East, and around the world. And he said, I don't think it's done. He said the problems of Europe would disappear if they would just pull out of all of these areas of the world and leave those people to themselves. Isn't that what Elijah Muhammad said? He said, Europe must return to Europe or else face their destruction, their doom, instead of living, right? Isn't that what Egon just said? That they've got to, but they refuse to. So what is the future if an ultimatum was given to them to leave all of these other parts of the globe and go back and focus on Europe or else instead focus on your death? But you refuse, and you continue to escalate. You don't focus on Europe. You're focusing on dominating and being domineering to others. Then what does that tell us? That instead of them focusing on their life in Europe, they're now focusing on their death because they were given an option, two options. One, to go back to Europe and live there and deal with Europeans. Or if they reject it, focus on their doom or their death. And now we're seeing it, right? Black man and black woman, I just want to talk with you for a minute. We see that the world of the white man is having trouble. His policy of total domination of the weaker nations militarily, the weaker nations economically, has brought about a blowback effect that is rippling through his system and is causing him to spend more money that they don't have on wars and on aggression to try to suppress the anger in the people, because the people are truly angry over colonialist policy and the injustice in the world and the hypocrisy and the double standards of the West. You can't suppress that. There's no weapon that is as powerful as an idea whose time has come. And that idea of freedom, justice, and equality, its time has arrived. Tears from the Empire. Global meltdown underway. I want you to listen closely to what Mr. Egon Van Von Braveris says about Libya. Isn't it ironic? He goes back and talks about Africa and Libya. And he talks about Western intervention. And before I play this clip, remember, I asked everyone to hold everybody accountable to what they say, including me. And I asked people to go back over the years and look into the archives of what we've been saying on the show and see whether or not what we've said has come into being. And if what we've said has come into being, then you should know that we are are a true representation of the teachings of the messenger. Because there's a lot of people who say things, but do they talk about things and then it actually takes place? If they don't, then they don't have any foresight, no in-depth learning or knowledge. They're just, I call them Bible thumpers. They're surface readers. But I want you to just weigh us on what we've said. And then I want you to listen to what Mr. Egon says about Libya and the Western intervention. Okay, I think this is a two-minute clip. And it'll always remind you of what we said about Libya and America's fall and how Libya would play a part of the fall of America and the fall of the white Western world. I want you to pay close attention to this, if they'll allow me to play it.
Could this kind of thing shake the financial system? Could it bring down the financial system starting in Europe?
Yes, absolutely. You have to remember that you're looking at a financial system which is extremely fragile. So all you need is some kind of catalyst, and this certainly can be the catalyst, but you know, the system will not come down because of this. The system will come down because we have a rotten world where most major nations are bankrupt and where the financial system has not recovered from 2007-09 and is in a worse state today than it was then. And therefore, this could very well be the catalyst, and I wouldn't be surprised if it will be.
And do you think that this is going to start a new round of more intervention? We're going to get more of what got us here. You know, we had, thank you, Hillary Clinton, for your Libya policies. Thank you, Hillary Clinton, for your Syria policies and NATO and the neocons. I mean, we were funding ISIS. Now there's reports out saying that that ISIS is now biting Turkey back and that the monster they created to help create with ISIS now is out of control.
And of course, you know, the attack on Libya that was, led by the UK and France, but it was actually on the instigation of the US that this was started. That attack created total anarchy in Libya and a breeding ground for ISIS in Libya. So what we have done in the West, we have destroyed these nations and made the risk many times greater than they would have been if we hadn't interfered, and that's so sad, but that is history. We all make such big mistakes in history, all of us, and now it's gone too far. So yes, it will certainly change the world, both from the security point of view and from a financial point of view, because that was going to happen anyway, and now it will definitely happen.
In the 50s and the 60s, and then you're living in 2016. See, the people turned hypocrite because they did not see, they could not foresee, they could not look down the wheels of time. They were not patient enough or astute enough to look into the teachings to see that they were talking about a time not too far off. And now we're living in it, and we can see it, and we can point to it. We can touch it, and we can say, oh, praise is due to Allah. Look at what Elijah Muhammad proclaimed, and look at what is taking place. It is too late for them. And as Mr. Egon said on the previous clip, he said, this is payback for Western intervention into all of these nations, right? What does the word payback mean? Punishment for something that was done in the past. An amount of money that you receive after investing in something and that is equal to or greater than the amount of money that you originally invested. The amount of time that passes before invested money is returned or before money that is owed is paid. A time of requital or retribution. Huh? Isn't that where we are? The day of requital? The judgment is the retribution for the past wrong deeds of the Western world. This is why we're seeing a global meltdown, didn't Mr. Egon say that? It's too late for you to hear that stuff right there. The whole system is going under now because they dibbled in Libya. They devil in North Africa and the Middle East. And now all of that stuff must come back to them, or else God is a liar. The prophecies of the prophets are lies. And the whole thing is just without cause and purpose. But we know that there's a cause. We know that there's a purpose. We know that God is perfect. And we know that he is and will fulfill the promises made by him through the mouth of his prophets. We're looking at them. We're seeing them. Everything is coming to a head. And they're scared at what they see. And the white world knows this. You don't understand this. But the white world understands that God is real and that God is on. I'm going to play a couple more clips from Mr. Egon. And I want you to look at his dire statements about, he's talking about specifically, the white man's world, the white man's monetary system. He tells you why the intervention in Africa, the abuse of policies, you know, the hypocrisy, he's mentioned that right there. But he's talking about a future, unlike anything you've seen. He knows that the white man has no future. He knows that there's terrible days approaching them. He knows that the West has lost and is losing all control of the system. Well, if they don't have control or it's losing control and this thing is a controlled demolition, who in the hell has the power? I'll tell you who has the power. It is Almighty God, Allah, and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. He is orchestrating this affair. He is driving this Cadillac down the road to hell. Because they wouldn't give you a ride in it. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, it's a beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Listen to what he says. Here, this is a minute and 33 seconds, I believe. Pay close attention.
And I want to go back to the clients that you do have, because obviously you have a pretty big business that you can run these secret vaults that are nuclear bomb proof, and so you must have some real hitter clients, real big clients, in order to have this kind of a business on a couple of continents. What are they telling you? What are your clients telling you about what they see coming?
Well, we are fortunate enough to have the wealth preservation type clients. These are clients who understand what's happening in the world. These are clients who understand not only the geopolitical risk that we just talked about, but also the financial and the economic risk in the world. So they are people who are insuring themselves against the future risk in the banking system of sovereign defaults and also the risk of hyperinflation. So these are people who understand that. They remember there's only 0.5% of world financial assets in gold. So these people are a minority. And obviously, they understand our language, what we are saying, because we are absolutely certain that investors must hold gold against the risk that we see in the world, because we think that the risks, there is nothing, whoever becomes president in the U.S. or whoever becomes a new head of central banking in whatever country in the world, is not going to change anything. We are now set on a course when the world is going to go into a decline, which will sadly make times a lot more difficult for everybody in the world.
This is a white man who is in the position of no. And they are making votes. Listen, they're so scared of what they're seeing coming that they are making votes in the Swiss Alps, in the mountains, that are supposed to be earthquake-proof and nuclear bomb-proof so that they can store their gold and their silver there. They see hell awaiting them. And they're running, they're literally and figuratively running for the hills. Yet you want to argue over minute, little small differences because you don't understand the time. And you're not understanding that time waits for no man or woman. Time is constantly in motion. Else it would not be called time. Time waits for no one. And this is the time that the prophets predicted that America would be brought to her knees in abject poverty and shame, and the white world, that man of sin, would be exposed to be your open enemies. And then God would deal with them in a just way. That's your Bible. And you're seeing it, yet you don't understand it. You're hearing it, you're listening to it, but you're not hearing it. Because you haven't made up in your little small, narrow view that it's got to be something else because you can't see this, you can't comprehend this, you don't understand this. That's the child, that's the mind of a child. A mind of a child that is not in love with growth and knowledge. A child whose mind is not conducive to growth. You understand? That is a spoiled brat. I don't want this because I don't understand it. I just can't see it as though everything is supposed to be because you see it. You're trying to reduce God's infinite wisdom to your narrow thinking. That is an arrogant fool. Isn't that something? That's our mind. That's how we think. And we think that way because we have been made and molded by the people of this world. If I can't have it, nobody can. If I can't play, I'm taking my ball and go home. What America says, if I can't rule, I'm going to kill everybody. Isn't that the mind state? That's the same thing. You don't even recognize it. So you have these white people telling you that they see no good times ahead for them. And he said that the world would go into decline. Well, if the world would go into decline, let us reason, like the Bible said, come, let us reason together. If the world is getting ready to go into a decline unlike anything you've seen before, and the whole world hinges right now on the Bretton Woods Agreement, where the dollar is the monetary center, America's economy is the center of the financial world, along with Britain, and if America, according to these agreements, is the center politically and militarily of the world, if the world is going into a decline and fall, then the greatest pillar must be removed first. And so Muhammad puts a book out called The Fall of America. Decline of what? The dollar. Mr. Egon Graves, just born witness. This is a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let us go to another clip. I'm going to try to get as many clips in as I can because I want to go back to Mr. Rob Kirby from the last show if I can get back to him because I didn't play a lot of his clips, and I'm going to try to get to some of them because they're very pertinent to what you're seeing today. So let me go here. And brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to do, I know some of you say, well, the brother plays clips. Well, I'm trying to play clips to let you see what these white people are discussing. I'm trying to get you to understand that get your hand from off the remote control for a minute. Stop watching TV for a minute. Stop talking about your car for a minute. And look at what's going on. Look at the time. Look at what, see, you're not applying mathematics. You're not executing the teachings because you're not aware of the time. And even if you have good intentions, if your moves that you're making are out of time or out of season, it won't bear fruit the way you would like it. Let me give you an example. You want to be a farmer. You've got the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Muhammad says, go to the earth, farm for yourself, right? You've gotten that part. So you go, and you say, brother, we got to eat. And nobody's arguing with you on that. And so it's freezing outside. Temperature's 20 below. And you go out there and you plant the seed. And you go out there and you plant seed. And you go out there and you water it every day. And then when the next season comes in, there's no harvest. And you say, but I put in the work. But Muhammad says go to the earth. He did. But you have common sense also. Not to go to the earth in a season that will not yield you any fruit. You understand? And a lot of us were spinning our wheels in mud and wondering why we can't get out the ditch because we're not understanding time. You understand? And time puts a perspective on all things. just your meager thinking. So I hope you're understanding where we're going with this, and we're trying to enlighten you up to time. So to give you another example before I go, some of you say, well, if we get 30 brothers together or 60 brothers together, and you're not understanding that when the messenger is talking about doing for self, he's talking about as a nation. And you 30, well, we got to start somewhere, and we got to do this, and then you're not understanding, so you get 60 people or 70 people together, and you say, this is our paperwork. For the next 10 years, each one of us will do X, Y, and Z, and we'll put this money in the bank. All of that is fine and good. But did you not hear what the devil just said he was going to do with his banks? He is going to reduce his money to zero interest rate. So your money will not accumulate any profit on that, like it did in the 50s and in the 60s. And then he says, from that point, if need be, which they will need to, they will go to a negative interest rate. And the negative interest rate means that for every dollar you put in the bank, you got to pay them 10 to 15 cents of it. For every month or every year that you have it in the bank. So you're putting in money in a losing fight. Because you're not understanding time. Am I making myself clear? If you don't understand this, raise your hand for a minute. Because it is clear. You've got to understand this. And I've been trying to make you hear and understand this for a while. So you cannot say that Brother Rashid has not been trying to help you to understand these things. But this devil, when he gets through talking to you in these clips, hopefully you'll understand it, because he's telling you that their world is going to hell in a handbasket and they can do nothing about it. And if you put your money in the banks with them, they're going to rob you. They'll strong arm you. That's what they're trying to do. So listen to what he says about all the government bonds, because remember, the devil will let you put your money in those banks, and he'll zero interest rate you, negative interest rate you, and then when his banks start tumbling, he'll put capital controls on his banks where you can only take out X amount. And then he'll tell you that the other amount that you got in there, you got to buy government bonds with. That's to prop up the system. And then he'll tell you that we'll give you X, Y, and Z on government bonds. But listen to what Mr. Egon is telling you, and I hope that you're listening. Because he's saying all government bonds, regardless of America or European, will eventually be worthless. You understand? Pay close attention.
And you think the bonds are at some point are going to, that's where they're printing all this money, no matter if you're in the Treasury bond, the Federal Reserve notes are printed off that, and bureaus, I'm sure they're backed by their assets, the bonds, and you have a lot of financial experience, and you're saying that the money is going to go poof. Is that right?
I cannot for the life of me understand, Greg, how anyone can put any money into sovereign bonds. You know, every single government that's issuing these bonds, whether it's the U.S. government, European central bank or government, or Japan, well, they're just increasing their debt and the deficits every year. Some of them, like Japan, can hardly afford to pay the interest at 0%. And the U.S. hasn't, as we discussed before, hasn't had a budget surplus since 1960, and debt is increasing exponentially. So none of these governments in the world are going to repay debt. So why is anybody buying government bonds? I mean, it just goes beyond me. I cannot understand it, because they know they're not going to get back the money. They might get back some funny piece of paper, which will be worthless because the money will have then been devalued to nothing. And secondly, if they get back a piece of paper, it will be like a 30 or 50 year bond that will be worthless at expiry. Sadly, most of the world does not understand what's happening yet.
You hear what he says? Sadly, most of the world doesn't understand what's happening yet. They don't get it. There was a time in the 40s and 50s and the 60s and part of the 70s where you could have put your money in the bank. You could have pooled your resources together in a bank. And you could have laid out an economic plan in 10 years we'll do this, right? We'll get together and we'll be able to do this and buy that. But we must not lose sight of the 60, do not exceed 70-year grace period. We can't lose sight of that. So we are here and we only have 9 to 10 years left in the grace period before all of it completely melts down and be brought to its knees. And Mr. Igor, he's going to say something in that time period when I play him shortly. But today, you cannot do as you did in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s. If you put your money in the bank, look what happened to Greece. And it's still going on in Greece. The people lost 50 and 60 and 70% of their savings. And they still have capital controls where the people are only allowed to pull out 200 or 150 euros per week or per month. Because the time has moved on towards a devastation phase. It does not stay in this period that you like it to stay in because judgment must take place. You understand? And if it were to stay in the position or the period that you say, then there would not be a fulfillment of the prophecy. And prophecy must be fulfilled. And that's why we're seeing kids from the empire. That's why we're watching a global meltdown underway. Because the fulfillment of prophecy and the movement of time and God's word that he spoke be coming into fruition. And this is to save you. No one on earth should be as glad and as happy as the American so-called Negro is to see and hear these things taking place because God is removing the economic, political, and financial shackles that this white man put on you so that he can remove you from their midst and destroy them for trying to destroy you. You can't tell me that there's a more merciful God than one who would bring down your oppressors, bring them to the level which they had you in. Make them have turmoil. Make them toil and torment. Make them be in despair. Make them go insane and be the tools and pawns of desperation. That's why you hear me often say, it's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And not just in words, in deeds. Let's go to the next clip. Can I talk to you just for 1 second? All right? I want to bring something to your mind. I'll say we have a while, so it just popped up in my head. I want to go back to something, okay? If you would just give me a second. Let's go back to chapter 1, I'll say, there's a ride. This goes to the heart of what I'm trying to say to you and what I'm trying to present to you with these clips. In the chapter 1, the first chapter of Our Savior Has Arrived, and remember, this is the last book given out by the last messenger at his last appearance at the last Savior's Day that was blessed to have his presence. And it was given out to everybody for free. This book, Our Savior Has Arrived. And point number one in this, under the title called The Black Man Must Know the Truth, he says, to know the truth of the presence of the God of truth and that his presence is the salvation of the lost and found people of America is to know your life and its happiness. If you mad at everybody today, that means you don't really understand God's presence. You're supposed to be happy. Seeing the white man being brought to his knees. Seeing the world rise up in opposition against this devil. Seeing him going from hot place to hot place trying to put out fires. Seeing his economy melt down. His dollar being rejected. His people being forced back within their own borders. This is a day of happiness for the so-called American Negro. Because we know the presence of our God. And his presence is our salvation. And if we know that, Muhammad says, that is to know your life and its happiness. He says, number two, truth is in favor of you and me. Now, how in the world can you not be happy if the truth is in your favor? If the destruction of this world is in your favor? If the removal of these governments are in your favor, how in the world can you be mad all the time? How in the world can you always look down at your own people and belittle your own people when the truth is in your favor? He says, for the truth of our enemies whom we have been serving here in the USA for over 400 years, whom we did not know to be our enemies by nature, is the truth that the black man must have knowledge of to be able to keep from falling into the deceiving traps that are being laid by our enemies to catch us in their way, which is opposed to the way of righteous of whom we are members. Listen to this part. Number three, the arch deceiver. We are warned throughout the Bible and Holy Quran to shun this deceiver if we are members of the black nation, the righteous. There is nothing left. Listen to this good. There is nothing that is left of the truth of these people that God has not made manifest. So, we know that they're the devil. We know that they're deceivers. We know that they're evil. We know that they're unjust. We know that the system was predicated on white supremacy or supremacy. We know that the system is unfair, unjust, and made against you and I, and a God has come today to deliver you and to remove the levels of power of these wicked people, and you're not happy? You're crazy as hell. And yet you are professing Elijah Muhammad, and you can quote the Bible and the Holy Quran and the scriptures, and you're mad at everybody. You're a crazy Negro. That's what you are. Without any supreme wisdom that has permeated or has dropped into your heart. You have it in your head, but it's not yet made its way to your heart. Tears from the Empire. Global meltdown is most assuredly and most definitely underway. I'm going to go to the next clip, but before I go to the next clip, I'm going to go to the phone line, and I'm going to answer this. 424, you're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I send to you, Assalamu alaikum.
Well, Islam, sir, brother, you could not tell that your voice was not working, brother, because you're on fire this morning, black man.
All praises due to Allah, my brother. Thank you, brother.
I know the devil, brother, wishing, boy, if you could just get off this show.
Yes, sir.
Well, I wanted to touch on you playing Egon Van Greer's on the USA Watchdog with Greg Hunter. Just touching on something, brother, there was an article that came out January 27th of last year, and it was speaking on what you said about these devils. They have bug-out bunkers in Switzerland and different places because they see their world falling. I just wanted to read for your listeners. It says, what do they know? Why are so many of the super wealthy preparing bug-out locations? A lot of ultra-rich people are quietly preparing to bug out when the time comes. They're buying survival properties. They're buying farms in faraway countries, and they're buying deep underground bunkers. In fact, a prominent insider at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, says that very powerful people are telling us they're scared. And he shocked his audience when he revealed that he knows hedge fund managers all over the world who are buying airstrips and farms in places like New Zealand. So what do they know? Why are there so many of the super wealthy suddenly preparing bug-out locations? When the elite of the world start preparing for doomsday, that is a very troubling sign. And right now, the elite appears to be quietly preparing for a disaster like never before. The insider that I mentioned above is named Robert Johnson. He is the president of the Institute of New Economic Thinking. And what he recently told a packed audience in Davos is making headlines all over the world. With growing inequality and the civil unrest, again, this is an old article, from Ferguson as the Occupy protest fresh in people's minds, the world's super rich are already preparing for the consequences. At a packed session in Davos, foreign hedge fund director Robert Johnson revealed that worried hedge fund managers were already planning their escapes. I know hedge fund managers all over the world who are buying airstrips and farms in places like New Zealand because they think they need a getaway, he said. But he didn't stop there. In a separate interview, Johnson admitted that very powerful people are telling us they're scared and that the elite see increasing evidence of social instability and violence. He says, wow, and Johnson is not the only one saying these things. The following quote comes from The Mirror. His comments were backed up by Stuart Wallace, executive director of the New Economics Foundation, who when asked about the comments told CNBC Africa, getaway cars, airstrips in New Zealand, and all that sort of thing, so basically a way to get out. If they could get off onto another planet, some of them would.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, brother, continue on with your powerful work, brother. It's talk about the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We appreciate you, brother, and we love you, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
And I love y'all back, my brother. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you, brother. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll go back to the lines in a few minutes, but I want the brother, I actually posted that article on the Hiring 1555 blog some time ago. And I'm glad that brother brought that article up. These devils see what's going on. You are so preoccupied with foolishness that you don't understand. And you always is looking for some foolishness when the truth is being placed right before your eyes. Isn't that something? I want to read something. And I want you to pay close attention to this. This is in Isaiah has arrived, and then I'm going to play a clip, then I'll go back to the phone lines and bring Brother Rashid in, because I know Brother Rashid has something that he wants to say. But listen close to this. Chapter 2, the sure truth. The sure truth. So there's no doubt about this truth. It is 100% certain and sure. It says, taken from the chapter 69 of the Holy Quran, what is said there in chapter 69 of the Holy Quran is so true and is being fulfilled in this day and time. See, you hear what he said? It's being fulfilled in this day and time. This chapter is warning the people in the time of the resurrection of the mentally dead of what happened in the histories of former people who were doomed to destruction and how they reacted to the truth and warning how they were. They call the truth of their approaching doom a lie. This chapter is warning the people of the calamities that are now besetting America and Europe. You hear what I'm saying? So these calamities that you see, not just when we're talking about the four judgments or the forces of nature, but we're talking about the four judgments, the forces of nature and economics and geopolitics and political, and culturally, and trade-wise. And so it's squeezing the Caucasian Empire so tight that you can see the tears from the Empire because they know that the global meltdown is underway. Muhammad goes and he says this, I'm going to jump down, he says, the chapter also mentions of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, how these cities were overthrown by earthquakes. And until this day, they have not been rebuilt. Pharaoh, who opposed the truth and called it a lie, suffered the judgment of Allah, drowning in the Red Sea. The black man in America, listen to this part, is now suffering under the falsehood of his enemies while truth is being sounded in his ears. Listen, how do you suffer from your enemies when the truth of your enemies are being made known? Huh? He's going to tell you why. The black man in America is now suffering under the falsehood of his enemies while the truth is being sounded in his ears. He sees the evidence of this truth with his eyes, yet he would like it a lot. That's some of you guys, some of you sisters. No matter how much we prove to you, it's never enough. You know why? Because you never took the time to digest what we had previously told you. It's almost like a baby. You know, my mother, they always say that you got to watch how you feed a baby. Babies are like fish. They'll eat and eat and eat till they throw up, till they get sick. Some of us are like that. We'll eat the spiritual teachings and we'll continue eating and eating and eating until we'll get sick in the head because we've never digested we had already acquired. And that stunts growth spiritually. You understand? So you'll have a brother constantly want to argue over this. Never, ever taking the time to realize what he already had before him. Then he'll go away. Then he'll come back. He think he had something else. Then he'll go away. Then he'll come back. Think he had something else. Then he'll go away. Then he'll come, knowing that he hadn't won the previous battles, but his mind is made in such a way and was molded by his oppressors. And he is, even though he doesn't acknowledge this, he's looking for a flaw in the teachings. He says he believes, but in reality he's looking for a flaw. That's why he never sits down and digests it. So Muhammad says, the main warning of the Holy Quran to those who take the truth for a lie and the lie for the truth is that they are subject to the same type of judgment that these former opponents of Allah were subject to. This is the thing. You're subject to the same thing. We're seeing the collapse of the white man's world. And if you are trying to prevent it, if you can't understand it, in this day and time with all of the signs so clear, have you ever taken the time to sit back and say, maybe God don't want you? With all of the truth being made manifest, with all of the devils coming out and openly saying these things, and yet you can't digest it, have you ever taken the time to sit back and say, I heard something, but we got to go after everybody. Yeah, your job is to deliver the message. The messenger said, my job is to clear delivery of the message. You can take it or you can leave it. You can't. Now, you as a person, you weren't missioned by God, so you can't force nobody to believe. You're supposed to lay it out as clear as possible. They can either accept it or reject it. And if they reject it, or if they say they accept it and continue arguing over it, they really haven't accepted it. And then you need to take the time out to think. Maybe God don't want them. If they haven't understood so far, maybe he does not want them at this time. And you have to be man or woman enough in yourself to stop throwing your pearls, your wisdom, before the swine, and they're trampling all over it. This is a beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because you're getting a chance to witness in real time how God is squeezing the empire, making it cry. And we're seeing the tears from the empire under the situation of a global meltdown. America is crying here. She's running there. She's flying there. She's doing everything she can, frantically, trying to prevent what we all know is coming. Total wealth destruction of the white man's world. And you better understand, total wealth destruction.
And yeah, do you think that the what's been going on with the stock markets, these big deep dives, and then they're coming back up, and particularly in the U.S. stock market, do you think everybody says they don't trust the rally, J.P. Morgan says sell into the rallies, a lot of the big banks are telling their clients to sell into the rally. What do you think about this big dive in January and this big, upswing in the last 25, 30 days in the stock market?
What's happening now is a trap, of course, in my view. The downturn started first time in August last year, but now in January, this is the start of a downtrend in stock.
Of a glorious future that the wicked is putting on is at hand. We must remember Daniel's prophecy that at the end of the war, desolations are determined. But before this happens, Allah will bless the people with a good time, as he did the people of the past, who wronged themselves and who did not pay attention to the prophet's warning among them. Allah destroyed them. They thought that they were fooling Allah, but Allah surprised them. He made the people rejoice for a short time with the show of great prosperity. At the height of their great prosperity, suddenly he destroyed them. This is the merciful law that Allah has put in nature. Allah lets a dying person rally before the end. America is going to do the same. America will rally, and people will think that she is going to have a great future. And then the end will come in that time, kind of time. Now, listen to what he says when Mr. Greg Hunter asks him about the market rally. The first thing he said is, it's a trap. That's what this white man said. He knows that God had laid a snare for them. Listen closely to what he says, and then pay attention to the rest of what he has to say about this. But please, pay close attention to this.
And, you know, do you think that the what's been going on with the stock markets, these big deep dives, and then they're coming back up, and particularly in the U.S. stock market, do you think that's everybody says they don't trust the rally, J.P. Morgan says sell into the rallies, you know, a lot of the big banks are telling their clients to sell into the rally. What do you think about this big, you know, big dive in January and this big, you know, upswing in the last, 25, 30 days in the stock markets?
Yeah, what's happening now is a trap, of course. In my view, the downturn started, well, it started first time in August last year, but now in January, this is the start of a downtrend in stock market. We've seen now the correction that makes some people optimistic again, but in my view, stock markets are now starting a secular bear market, which will eventually take them down at least 75% to 90%. You know, that was the fall in 29, and I think we will now mark the bubbles are so much bigger than they were in 29, and now they're worldwide, and therefore the fall, I mean, 90% would absolutely not be abnormal in my view.
And do you think that some people say, well, they won't let that happen? Look what just happened in January, the worst January, you know, on record ever, at least in the U.S. stock market. I suspect the same in the European markets. The worst January ever, and look, they brought it all back. The S&P is almost back to where it was at the end of 2015. What do you say to those people? That the government will not let anything bad happen.
I say, tell them, God bless you, because you're going to lose all of your wealth. I mean, the wealth destruction that we will see in coming years, whether it will take 3 years, 5 years, or 7 years, I don't know. Sometimes these things take longer than you think. They have so far, in my view, it's taken longer than it should have done. But it can also happen very quickly once it starts because of all the risks in the world. So I tell people, please, you know, get out of the stock market, the ones who actually want to have some money left at the end of this year. And, you know, if I say that stock markets might go down as much as 90%, then if you take the gold stock market ratio, a gold or stock market against gold, I think most stock market against gold will go down by more than 95% or 99% even, because gold will go up and stock markets will crash. You know, we'll see the most massive wealth destruction in history worldwide in coming years. Gold will act as insurance. And even if people don't believe it, you know, there's never wrong to buy some insurance. But, of course, we will have much bigger problems than that, because if we just talked about the bond market and then you take the stock market, and then there'd be the same with other bubble markets like property market. So the financial system, in my view, will not survive in its present form in coming years.
Hear what he said? He said the financial system will not survive in its present form in the coming years. And then before that, he gave us a layout of a time frame he thinks is happening in. He said whether it's 2 or 5 or 7 years. Notice that this time frame does not exceed 70 years. Huh? not exceed 70 years. Isn't that what Elijah Muhammad says? And I want to ask you, so-called educated people, if Elijah Muhammad is not the messenger of God, if Elijah Muhammad's words are not the truth, then why is it that every mathematical process, every mathematical date that he has given to us, the white man has come back and backed it up in some way or form? And why is it that his time frame for the fall and collapse of America and the white world is now being borne witness by those of the white world? This man didn't have no formal education. But he said God talked to him. God told him these things. And now we're seeing the validity of what that little meek and noble man had taught and is teaching us. You can't get away from it, around it, beneath it, above it. You got to go through this truth. And I'm not going to let any one of y'all try to denigrate the sacrifice of that great and noble man, because it is our salvation in this day and time. You can't say that Rashid Muhammad is teaching just religion on the show. You got to admit that we're showing you real time the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as they unfold. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brother Rashid, you stay there. Even if we have to go over a couple minutes in air time, you stay right there. Keep your hand up. We're going to go to you. We want to hear from you. I got two more clips from Egon Von Greyers that I want to play. They're short clips, two-minute clips, I believe. One is 2 minutes. I want you to pay close attention. One is 3 minutes and one is 2 minutes. Listen to what he's talking about the situation with this white man and how nothing can stop the global order from collapsing, and nothing they do can prevent its fall. This is only one clip, and then I'll go to Brother Rashid, but I want you to listen to this good.
And final words on the economy, global economy, because you think globally, and you can pretty much see. It just seems to me that this is a very tenuous year. These big swoons in the stock market, this big drop in the Baltic Dry Index, all kinds of negative news about the Chinese market. Do you think that there's any way the global economy can get better or better enough to make it another couple of years, or do you think are you seeing trouble signs that you haven't seen in the past?
Greg, I will happily admit that I have been wrong on the timing before. I've been right on the trend, because that's very clear. And the risks and the events that I've outlined, all of that is inevitable. This time, I actually think that there's nothing that governments worldwide can do. They will come out with a massive money printing program worldwide. There will be. I think we talked about last time, after the Fed rate increase, I said there's not going to be any more increase.
Other people are saying the same thing you are now.
Yeah. So, and I think the Fed eventually will go down to zero again, and then negative rates, because the world will be in a mess. But what I'm saying is the money printing this time will be like pushing on a string. They're not going to achieve anything. It's just gone too far, and therefore it will have a very, very short-term effect, and the world will decline very fast. And as you said, you've got the Baltic Index, you've got all the container indices, you have exports in China, in Japan, in Korea, worldwide exports are coming down very, very fast, because world trade is coming down, and the world downturn has started already.
And you're saying, you're forecasting, the Fed said, well, we'll have two rate increases instead of four in 2016. And you say?
I say that there's no chance for them in this year to increase rates because of the problems that will be coming. But, of course, in a couple of years' time with the hyperinflation, whatever the Fed wants is not going to count, because the bond market will collapse, and therefore the loan rates will go up eventually to the teens at least, and they will pull up the short rates. So at that point, the Fed and the central banks worldwide will lose control of interest rates because of the bond markets collapsing.
Egon von Quayers, Matterhorn Asset Management. All the links for you folks watching this on YouTube, you can go up to the right through and you can see, you know, all links are on usawatchdog.com. You can find Egon von Quayers' fine website with free information on it. Egon von Quayers, thank you for joining us today on usawatchdog.com.
Greg, I'm so sorry. I haven't painted the rosiest pictures for your viewers, but I think everybody today must understand the risk that we are facing. And therefore take action. So I really enjoy speaking to you again. Thank you very much, Greg.
Egon, just to let you...
This guy, he said he didn't paint a rosy picture, but the conditions of the day mean that everybody needs to take action. This man, he has him a facility in the Swiss Alps he's going to try to run to. They see nothing good for America. He said it's already in a downturn, the global economy, and they are losing control over everything. But I thought that America was the global superpower, the world's only hyperpower. Well, she's lost her position to the power, which is the Lord of the world. Now, in this book, The Message to the Black Man, in chapter called The Breakup of the Old World, The Breakup of the Old World, Muhammad says, according to the changes of civilization by Allah and his messengers, from Moses to this day and the last messenger, the resurrection and return of the lost and found mentally dead members of the aboriginal people of the earth, the black nation, is now. Today, not yesterday, but today, we live at the end of the world of people who have ruled the black man and his various colors between black and white for the last 6,000 years. The world of disbelievers and hypocrites know these are the days and the end of the rule of the white man. What did Igor say? It's the end of the system as we know it. Didn't Igor say that? So if it's the end of the system, it's the end of all of the levels of power of that system. It's the end of the powers of those who had control over the levels of the system. It is the end of the global order as you know. One world going out and a new world coming in. It is a marvelous time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let me go to Brother Rashid on the phone. Brother Rashid, assalamu alaikum.
Walay Salam, Black, how you doing today?
Oh, brother, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, brother, the words that you just said, brother, like once again, how can I not be feeling great, brother? The proof that our beloved leader and teacher's words are coming true, brother, that's the greatest thing that any black man in America can even think of. We can't even conceive of anything better than that. Brother, what he was talking about earlier about the white man talking about wanting to leave the earth, well, you know, you got some of them talking about going to Mars.
Yeah, some of them living in the air.
Yeah, going to Venus, living up in the air, a city in the clouds. Some of them say they want to just get on a spaceship and leave the solar system.
Destroy the earth nearby, now they want to go somewhere else and destroy them.
Yeah, why would you, if you are good people, or run around claiming that, you know, we are people of Jesus, as they so-called claim, why would you want to leave the earth? I mean, it's perfect for us, 93 million miles away from the sun, right? I mean,
that's
you can't
right.
go to Venus, it's too hot. You can't go to Mars, it's too cold. And if you go out of the solar system, you really are in deep space with no heat or nothing. It's ridiculous, brother, to even think of that. But it shows you that they know that they've been the troublemakers, the genetically engineered troublemakers around the planet Earth. They know that. Donald Elijah Muhammad said, you take a man's words and his actions, you take his actions every time. The reason why I called in, brother, you know, as you was talking about earlier about this being happy that Allah is getting ready to punish our the people that's mistreated us. Brother, you know, I heard one of these would-be leaders sit up there on a couple of his lectures, how to